Today I'm going to do something different. Instead of preaching from the gospel, I'm going to tell you one of the stories from the Godly Play curriculum. We're introducing this new curriculum into our Sunday school, and we want to share it with you so that you have an understanding of how it works. Godly Play is a curriculum that was developed by a man named Jerome Berryman over a period of 30 years or more of his research and his development with this program. And it's based on the principles of Montessori. Maria Montessori was a great child educator. And the idea is that we help the children inhabit the stories of the Bible and inhabit the stories of the faith by giving them things to touch and to work with so that they're not just hearing it as a story that goes in and out of their head, but something that they can really engage with. So one of the principles of Montessori is that children are natural learners, and a lot of learning goes through the fingers, through touch. So you give the children things to touch, like figures and sandboxes and pieces of wood. The Godly Play classroom is very highly structured. There's a circle for the children to be in, and there are shelves along the sides with that are just the right height for children. And each shelf has got one of the stories that takes up a Sunday lesson. And the storyteller is in the circle and welcomes each child into the circle as at the beginning of the classroom, at the beginning of the class. There's a doorkeeper who helps the children get ready, which means to settle down, calm down, be ready to enter. And the doorkeeper introduces each child to the storyteller who welcomes them. The storyteller will go and take one of the boxes off the shelves and bring it into the circle for the children to hear the story. The storyteller opens the box or whatever the story is, tells the story, then asks questions, wondering questions. So this is not a curriculum where we tell the children what they're supposed to know afterwards, but where we ask the children questions and ask them to respond. I wonder what's the most important part of this story? And the children answer what they think is the most important part of the story. I wonder where you are in this story and what part of this story is about you? And the children answer. Then they put up the story in the box and put it back on the shelf. And the children are free to do their work. They can take the story back and they can tell it to themselves if they want. Or they can take another box that they've already heard the story and they can work with that story and tell the story. Or there are art materials for them to work their response to what the story is. And then they come back to the circle and they have a feast, which is usually a cracker and a little cup of juice. And then at the end, the storyteller dismisses them and they go one by one out to the doorkeeper who welcomes them and helps them go back to their families. So it's very highly structured and it's just a beautiful, beautiful curriculum. I think sometimes the adults get as much out of it or more out of it than the kids do. Each story is very carefully crafted, and the storyteller is supposed to memorize the story so they use the right words. Because what we're trying to do is give the children a language for the faith. Help them understand the words of our faith. So that's a little bit about how Godly Play works. And today I'm going to tell the story of the great family. So if you like, especially the people on the sides, you can come a little closer. I hope you'll be able to see what I'm doing here. And come on up. Heidi, come on over here. We're all kids this morning, and at the end I'm going to ask wondering questions. And so you're going to be the children, and you're going to answer the wondering questions. Okay? Now, as I tell the story, I'm not going to look at you. I'm going to look at the box. And the purpose for that is to help the children concentrate on the story. It creates an atmosphere where everyone is really intent on what is happening in the story. And the children become very absorbed in the story. And they don't usually wander off or make a fuss, because they understand this is holy ground. And this is an important story for them to learn. After they've heard the story two or three times, kids have got it memorized. And when they take the box down from the shelf and play with it themselves, they can tell the whole story. So what happens is the kids really begin to learn these Bible stories. Okay. This is the desert box. Many wonderful things happened in the desert, and we need to know what it's like. We can't have the whole desert in our classroom, but we have a piece of the desert in our desert box. The desert is a dangerous place. The wind blows the sand, and it's hard to know where you are. There's very little water in the desert, and you get very thirsty. You can even die if you can't find any water. In the daytime, it's very hot, and the sun scorches your skin. At night, it's very cold. When the wind blows, the sand stings your skin when it hits you. Almost nothing grows in the desert, and there's nothing to eat. The people in the desert wear many clothes to protect themselves from the blowing sand and from the sun. The desert is a dangerous place. No one goes to the desert unless they have to. After the great flood, the creatures came into all directions of the earth so that they could bring life to it again. Many of them settled by the rivers. Here's a river. Here's another river. People lived in villages and then in cities. One of the greatest cities and the most ancient was called the city of Ur. The people in Ur believed in many gods. They believed there was a god for every rock and every tree and every flower. They believed that there was a god for the sky and for the clouds and for the land and for the water. But there was one family that believed that all of God was in just one place. They did not know that for sure, but that's what they believed. And Abram and Sarai were members of that family. When it came time for them to move to a new place, they were not sure that God would be in the new place. And they wondered what it was going to be like in the new place. But they started out with all their sheep and donkeys and their helpers to a place called Haran. They took all the old people, all the children too. At night they stayed in tents. And in the day they walked along the river Euphrates, this river. The river guided them and gave them water to drink. It was a very long journey. But finally they saw people coming from Haran, and they knew they were close. And finally, they were there. Sometimes Abraham would go out to the edge of the desert and look at the sea, the sky and the sand. Then God came very close to Abram. And Abram came very close to God. And he knew what God wanted them to do. God wanted them to move to another place, to a new land. God said, I will make you a great nation, a great family, and I will bless you, and you will be blessed. Abraham and Sarah did what God told them to do. They started across the desert toward the land of Canaan. They took all their sheep and their donkeys and their tents and their helpers. At this time, there was no river to follow or to give them water. Finally, they came to a place called Shechem. Abraham went up to a hill and he prayed to God. And God was there. So Abram built an altar to mark that place. They kept on going. And they came to a place near Bethel. And again, Abram prayed to God, and God was there. And Abram made another altar to mark the place. Now Abram knew that God was not just here, or here, or here, or here, but all of God was in every place. They kept on going. And finally they came to a place called Hebron. And they made their home there near the oaks of Mamre. One night, God called Abraham out into the desert. And Abraham looked up at the sky. God came very close to Abram, and Abram came very close to God, so close that he knew what God was saying to him. God said, you will become the father of a great family, and Sarah will be the mother. The members of this family will be as many as the stars in the sky and the grains of sand in the desert. Abraham laughed. He was very old. How could he become the father of a great family? But God said, now you will change your name. No longer will you be called Abram, but Abraham. And Sarah will now be called, Sarai will now be called Sarah. One day, three strangers came out of the desert to visit them. Abraham was sitting by his tent, and he invited the strangers to come in. Sarah made three measures of flour, which is a lot. And she set before them bread and meat to eat, and milk and water to drink. The three strangers ate, and then they told Abraham, you and Sarah will become the parents of a son. Sarah was outside the tent, and she heard them, and she laughed. She was so old. How could she have children? And the strangers went away. Do you know what happened? They had a son. They laughed when he was born, and so they called their son Laughter. The word in their language for laughter is Isaac. So their son's name was Isaac. When Isaac was grown, Sarah was very old and full of years, and she died. And they buried Sarah in the cave near the oaks of Mamre. Abraham was very sad and very lonely. He missed Sarah, but he had one more thing he needed to do. So he sent his most trusted servant back to his people who lived in Haran. When the servant was near Haran, he stopped at a well for the night. There was a young woman at the well named Rebecca. Rebecca was as full of courage as she was of kindness. And she invited the helper to come stay with her family. And he told them about Abraham and Sarah and the great family. And Rebecca decided that she wanted to become part of the great family. So she traveled with the helper back to Hebron. Isaac saw her coming, and he came out to meet her. And Isaac and Rebecca were married. Then Abraham, who was very old and full of days, very tired, died. And they buried Abraham alongside Sarah in the cave at Mamre. Rebecca and Isaac had children. And those children had children. And those children had children. And this went on and on until your grandparents had your parents. And your parents had you. And now we are all part of the great family. We are as many as the stars in the sky and the grains of sand in the desert. Now I wonder, what do you think is the most important part of this story? What's the most important part, I wonder?
Faith.
Faith, yeah. Took a lot of faith, didn't it? Mm-hmm. Rebecca. Couldn't have happened without Rebecca. Yeah.
Inbreeding.
Inbreeding. Okay, inbreeding.
God is everywhere.
God is in, all of God is in every place. That's right. Anybody else? What was the thing that you liked the most about this story? I wonder what that was.
The fact that they laughed when they told they were going to be parents.
When they laughed. I like that too.
Yeah. I like the ribbons and blue ribbons of water, yes.
Yeah. They're bright blue, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like water in the desert.
They followed God's word.
They did what God said. Mm-hmm.
Even though it didn't sound very practical.
Right. Yeah. What else did you like? I wonder.
Storyteller.
The storyteller. The storyteller liked it too.
People moving around.
Yeah.
The movement in the story.
The movement. Especially the crunch. Crunch, crunch. I like that too.
I kept wondering, what are you going to do with these other rocks?
I have too many rocks.
Can I ask you a question? What's the age of the youngest child that goes to this class?
Three to six. Well, 3 to 12, but three is made count for 3 to 6. Three is young. Three is very young.
This is a question. Mm-hmm. What if a child gets out of box and does his own thing? Is that all right?
Yes.
I mean, a three-year-old might well do that.
Yes, that's okay.
Okay.
That's okay.
I mean, he might not make up any stories that he's been told.
That's right.
His own story.
He might make up a totally different story.
Right. Thank you.
He might start with a story and it might morph into something else.
Yeah.
He might put himself in the story, or she might. I wonder where you might be in this story, or what part of this story might be about you.
I'm not leaving the river.
Okay, right. The river. Stay where there's water.
I hope Betty doesn't get pregnant.
You never know what God will do.
I like God being near to me and me being near to God.
Yes. Came close to God. God came close to her. Oh, that's beautiful.
When God calls you to go, He will be with you.
He will be with you, yes. Yes, He'll be with you.
I wonder if God told him to trek all the way to Haran, got there, and then told him to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Told him to go there the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this box is set up as a map of the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And this is the Tigris River. This is the Euphrates River. And the actual Bible story says they left Ur and went to Haran, which is in the north. And then they went back south into Haran. So if you learn this story and then you look at a map of the Middle East, you'll see it reflected there.
I kept thinking you were going to build an oasis. After all, they're living there. I mean, I really did. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
Where are the palm trees and the... They obviously had cattle and stuff. There has been an oasis there where they live.
But you have to take that up with the Bible.
Okay. You have to say one way or the other.
The Bible doesn't say an oasis.
You're going to take Isaac up and have him sacrificed on the altar.
Ah, that's another story.
That's another box.
That's a heavy box. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What, Isaac's sacrifice?
The sacrifice of Isaac.
Whoa.
Do you suppose God moved them around to test them? Test their faith?
Ah, I wonder if God was testing their faith. I wonder. That's a good question. I wonder what part of this story could be left out and still have the whole story.
Nothing.
Nothing could be left out.
The hill. There's no hill.
There's no hill. Where we left out the hill.
You don't have a visual for a hill.
For a hill. That's right. Yeah. Maybe not much could be left out. Maybe not much. Okay. Let me put the desert box back up. Thank you.